Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, you guys got to try to remind me now. You got to remind me. If I forget to do it today, you got to say, Aaron, you got to play the Byron Donalds back and forth. Byron Donalds, Florida congressman, was tearing into these sanctuary city mayors, wasting hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars of your taxpayer dollars, of their city's taxpayer dollars, going to illegal aliens, many of whom have committed additional horrific crimes on top of the crime of being in this country illegally. I got to play that back and forth for you. But first, there was one thing I wanted to do yesterday in our statewide show. One thing. I wanted to play the clip of President Trump detailing the wasteful spending that's been highlighted by DOGE, Elon Musk, and the Department of Government Efficiency. And before you know it, we started taking all these great phone calls. We had reaction from Senator Steve Daines to President Trump's speech on Tuesday night. And I never played the one clip that I wanted to play yesterday. So let's start with that. Today, here's just part of President Trump identifying the wasteful, fraudulent, abuseful spending of your taxpayer dollars that they've identified.
Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender. This is real. $32 million for a left-wing propaganda operation in Moldova. $10 million for male circumcision in Mozambique.
All right, and he goes on for at least another 2 minutes detailing millions and millions more in wasteful spending. By the way, if you're a CNN watcher, or I don't know if it was Politico or who else, they tried to do a fact check on the $8 million for making mice transgender story, and they had to correct their fact check because President Trump had his facts, and they did not have their facts. So, yes, Dr. Fauci and crew in the Joe Biden, John Tester regime, yes, they did. They allocated $8 million to make mice transgender. And think about the $22 billion for free housing and cars for illegal aliens. How many St. Mary's irrigation projects could have been paid for with just that $22 billion alone?
But this...
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, gee, thanks a lot, Frank. I get the reminder from Frank in Malta right away, first thing in the break. Hey, here's your reminder to play the Byron Donalds back and forth. I meant later in the hour. Frank, no, thanks, though, Frank. That's pretty good. But actually, you know what? Frank is right. Let's just roll it right now, and then we're going to jump right into your phone calls after that. Because once we start taking these great phone calls, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to forget all about it, especially because first up on the phone lines, he's already there. You know, today is normally the day we would do our legislative update, but the lawmakers are incredibly busy in Helena today because of the transmittal deadline tomorrow. So we won't have the normal legislative update today, but it looks like Perry in Columbus has a legislative update for us, and you can give one too. 406-294-0970. Here you go, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds, just simply trying to get some information out of these sanctuary city mayors giving billions of your dollars to illegal aliens.
How much did your city spend on illegal immigration? Do you have a round number?
Over the last couple of years on all newcomers, whatever their status was, it's around $79 million since 2022.
$79 million. Mayor Johnson, Chicago. How much has the city of Chicago spent on illegal immigration?
If you're referring to the 2022 up to 2024 of the buses coming from Texas, roughly the same percentage of the state of Texas, about 1% of our overall budget.
What is that? Because I don't have the city's budget in front of me. Numbers.
It's 1%, and if you want the actual calculation, we can make sure someone...
You're the mayor. You don't have the math in front of you.
It's 1% of the overall budget over the last
right,
4 years.
That's why you're a failing mayor.
Which is
mayor
the same
Adams,
number that was sent from
us. How much
did
the city of New York actually spend on illegal immigration?
Okay, let me actually pause it right there for just a second. So, like the mayor of Chicago there, I don't have the numbers in front of me. What is 1% of Chicago's budget? But you know what? It took me 3 seconds using Grok and the Elon Musk's AI platform to get the answer. Chicago's 2025 city budget is $17.1 billion. 1% of that is $171 million. But you know what? I'll bet you that mayor was lying. I'll bet you the actual dollar figure going to illegals is even greater than that, because this is what New York's mayor had to say, because he's being honest, because he's actually trying to call out the problem instead of keep the crisis going.
Legal immigration. Mayor Johnson, I already asked you, you don't have a hard number. And if you don't have a hard number, you're not running your city well. Mayor Adams, how much did the city of New York actually spend on illegal immigration?
$6.9 billion of taxpayer dollars.
$6.9 billion. Of taxpayer money on a problem that was fostered on the American people. Mayor Wu, in the city of Boston, how much did you spend?
We don't ask about immigration status and delivering citizens.
You don't ask about how much money the city of Boston has spent on illegal immigration? Are you out of your mind?
Between immigration status.
Do you manage your budget or not, Mayor Wu?
Anyway, it goes on and on and on. That mayor of Boston is completely out of her mind. Then again, that's what the people in Boston are voting for. Crazy when you think about it, what's happening, that people are so blind to a political party that they will keep voting for it, even though billions of their dollars are going to people that aren't even citizens of their city, aren't even citizens of this country. Okay, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. I mentioned we don't have a legislative update this week because they're tied up on the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate with the transmittal deadline facing the legislature tomorrow. But sounds like Perry the poet, Perry in Columbus, has a legislative update for us. Perry, good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I don't have any words on paper today, but I want to have a conversation about the naughty nine of the Montana State Senate. You know, I this morning I slept in a little bit. My wife told me one of them was found passed out at the wheel in the middle of an intersection last night or this morning. Is that true?
Well, that wasn't one of the Republican nine state senators that are voting with the Democrats. That was Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldmid out of Missoula. And you know what's amazing is that if she were a Republican, you would have known the name. You would have heard it about 85 times all week long in the news. But because she's a Democrat, they did one story 2 days later, and then they buried it for the rest of the week. But if that was a Republican, oh, you would know the name no matter when you woke up this morning.
Yeah, shocker, huh? You know, I was down in the doctor's office the other day, and I saw an article in this Liberty Bell newspaper. I think Lisa Bennett helps put it out. That says Montana has a recall law in place but the legislature got a hold of it and wrangled it so the bar is set very high against success with a petition. But I would like to call the Aaron Flint Army and the state Republican Party to the total line and start. You know, I know recall petitions are very hard, something about just cause, and some judge is going to decide what that is. But find and fund an actual conservative to primary them out. And we can all get a hold of their local phone numbers, the switchboard, the letter, emails. You know, these people need to know that they have thwarted the will of hundreds of thousands of Montanans, and that is not something that we are going to take lightly.
Yeah, so you're referring to the nine state Senate Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats on rules changes, yes, and everything. Yeah, the challenge with you know, more embattled primaries is that a lot of this stems from primary battles that took place last year. And that's why I think it was so unfortunate that you saw people taking shots at the governor last year in the primary. And then and I don't know why the governor got involved in the primaries either and made endorsements that he didn't need to make. But you know, then again, there were people taking shots at him. And so I think that's where a lot of this stems from. Hold that thought. Quick break. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, to me, the problems that we've seen in the Montana legislature and the division this session in particular, I mean, at least it sounds like some good things are still getting across the finish line. And we're going to see, I still fully believe that we're seeing really good progress to finally deliver some property tax relief on top of the property tax rebate checks that we got here before. But anyway, I think that a lot of this division that you're seeing in the legislature right now is because of all the division that you saw within the GOP 1 year ago. I mean, we had an incumbent governor who probably the most conservative governor when it comes to things actually getting done in my lifetime in Montana. Now, yeah, there's always more that can be done, and hopefully will get done this legislative session. But, you know, you had an incumbent Republican governor, and yet you had all these people, you know, you had a few of these people out here that just wanted to take shots at him. And they wasted all this time traveling the state, taking shots at the governor instead of helping to get Supreme Court candidates elected. And that started drawing some battle lines out there. And then other groups and other folks, you know, started endorsing certain legislative candidates. And I think that created a lot of bad blood that's now, you know, been spilling in the legislature this session. But I totally agree with Perry in the sense that, you know, these nine Republican state senators that have been voting with the Democrats, some of them told me back in January they were ready to move on. So why are we now at halftime and we're still seeing this division? It just drives me nuts, if you ask me. Perry, you had one more thing to say before we get to our next caller. What did you want to throw out there?
Yeah, the legislative process and sausage making have a disturbing number of things in common. But, you know, it's their actions have undermined the entire Republican Party's and state electorate as well. And, you know, I, for all of them that are listening, I want them to know this. Without an immediate change in your voting behavior, my decision to invest money, which is something I gave some to Sheehy, in money and time and your political demise will be an easy one to make. And I enlist I call the Aaron Flint Army to join me and let these people know who's the boss.
Well, and my thing, too, is like, okay, committee assignments, rules. I you know, just like I didn't like it when eight or nine Republicans in the House were undermining the rest of their caucus in the U.S. House, I don't like seeing it in the state Senate either. But committee assignments and rules, okay, all right, that might sound like inside baseball to the average Montanan out there. But then you see some of these people, not just in the Senate, but in the House, voting against no-brainer bills. And it's like, what are you guys doing? And you start to have enough of those those votes against no-brainer bills. And that's when it will create a big problem. I mean, some of these things, like the Montana Shooting Sports Association has been backing legislation to stop the big banks from debanking gun businesses. Well, why would any Republicans say no to that? What are you too worried about what Wells Fargo or, you know, Bank of America, one of the big Wall Street banks, has to say about it, even though it wouldn't do anything to the local Montana banks or credit unions? It would apply to the big Wall Street banks that want to defund gun companies and defund people because they don't fall in line with the LGBTQ agenda and go against your religious beliefs. And so, like, whoa. So the judicial reform. See, now Perry got me going. Perry, thanks for the call. Judicial reform. There was a bill, Henry Kriegel told me about this earlier this week from AFP Montana. There was a bill to simply allow, not even to require, party affiliation in judicial races. It would just allow a judicial candidate to declare party affiliation. And there were some House Republicans who voted against that. What are you doing? Why are you even there? I mean, my goodness, The left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, you can sit there all day in Helena today, and you were sitting on the lawn for a little bit yesterday while you were trying to pass 60, 70, or 80 different bills. Somebody apparently pulled a fire alarm. There was a false alarm somehow or another, so they were all sitting outside as they're trying to do this marathon session to pass bills. You can pass all the bills you want, but the modern-day copper kings, as one of our listeners pointed out, are the Democrat Party mega donors that don't even live in Montana, and the Planned Parenthood operatives that fund these Supreme Court justice campaigns. And no matter what bill you pass, no matter how long you stay there, no matter how many fire alarm pulling sessions you have to sit through, it ain't going to matter, because the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court is going to throw all of your work in the trash can whenever they want to. So if you can't deliver judicial reform, why are you even wasting your time in Helena right now? Now, I do think there may be some hope on the horizon there. Representative Steve Fitzpatrick out of Great Falls has got a bill to at least allow for party affiliation in the Supreme Court races. Maybe not at the district court level, but at least at Supreme Court races. So that's the hopeful hope on the horizon for that story. But, yeah, seriously, these tyrants in black robes, they don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care what the people of Montana say. They care what their mega donors and their dark money donors are telling them. And that's how they rule. All right, let's go. Unexpected rant. Let's go to Skip in Hamilton next up. Skip, what's going on?
Oh, thank you, Aaron. And you're opening up so many cans of worms. We only get you over here for an hour in the Bitterroot on your program. You could have about a six-hour program on all the stuff you just listed out.
Well, give a call to KMPT there and tell them how much you love this show, because that feedback's always helpful. But, yeah, what's on your mind?
Sir, I get it, and you're correct. I wanted to tell you, I live in Jason Ellsworth's district, and 43. And tomorrow, Friday, isn't just the last day for transmittal between Senate and House of Representatives for items that don't have money attached to them, but it's also the day they're going to do a review or whatever they want to call it on Jason Ellsworth, the Senate is, and I hope they can get that behind them somehow, make some sort of a decision, so that they can get to even the three. I think there's about 300 bills that are still in committees, waiting to be on the floor of the Senate, so we can maybe get some of the people's business done, and then things go smoothly in the second half, because all next week there's a vacation, and then all of a sudden they should be able to hit the ground running the next Monday. Now there's one representative that has in fact resigned last Monday.
Yeah, out of your neck of the woods. Yeah, Representative Ron Marshall out of Hamilton, yeah.
87, right in the Bitterroot, just north of Hamilton. goes across the valley through Corvallis, I think. So meanwhile, I'll tell you what, you want to see a mess opening up a can of worms with our central committee being in the disarray that it's in. It's like two factions of Neanderthals fighting each other. And honest to God. And
I'm just a caveman. I don't know all your crazy lawyer games. That kind of fight, huh?
they're more concerned with who's in charge than they are of having a representative elected body, which is what the captains of a central committee are. They should have a majority vote as to three names that they give to the commissioners of the county, and they decide who the new person is to replace the resigned open seat. And so then if they don't like those three names, they submit three more, and they have to choose one of them.
Yeah.
Now,
So they're deeply divided right now in Ravalli County to figure out how to replace Representative Marshall. That's usually, hey, quick question for you before I get to our next caller here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, quick question for you. Have there been calls in the Missoula area for State Senator Ellie Boldman to step down? Because, I mean, look, if she was a Republican, this thing would be in the news every day this week. And there would be calls for her resignation. There would be answers demanded. She passed out drunk, apparently, in the middle of the road. And,
correct.
I mean, this wasn't like, because some people would say, look, 0.08, if somebody, you know, got arrested for just slightly over 0.08, some people might be like, okay, hey. She was passed out drunk in the middle of the road after the big tampon Tim Walz party in Helena on Saturday night. And I like Ellie Boldman. I've gotten along with her. She's always, you know, willing to talk with anybody, but I may disagree with her on everything politically, but we all know dang well if she were a Republican and that happened, my goodness, the media mob that would be surrounding her every single day this week. So I'm just wondering if there's any calls for her to resign because, you know, Marshall stepped down for some other reason. But anyway.
But when we have a vacancy, what's most important is that we efficiently and correctly under statute, refill that position expediently, especially when there's a session going on, so that whole group of people in that district, that electorate, has representation.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they got to fill that quickly so that people have a representative, especially right now. You only got 45 or so more days, right? Okay, Skip, great point. Thanks for the call. Mike in Bozeman, what's on your mind?
I want to know how it has been determined how many, numerically, how many of these illegal aliens have committed all of these large varieties of crimes. And when the numerical values started being assigned to these various crimes committed by these illegal aliens, where in the heck did those numbers come from? Did they come from American sources because they were committed on American soil? Or did somebody make a phone call to all these different countries' prisons and say, of all the guys that you've sent to us, how many of them have done such and such and such type of crime, and how many of those kind of guys are you sending us?
Good question. I'd have to find out what numbers you're referring to. I'm assuming it's additional crimes committed here.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, leaders of the Montana Stock Growers Association are in Washington, D.C., advocating for Montana's ranching community. Phillips County rancher Leslie Robinson is president of the Montana Stock Growers, and she says they continue to share the importance of producer profitability to our elected officials in Washington, D.C.
Producer profitability, we're always bringing our points that we kind of picked up on that project. And the Death Tax Repeal Act is one that all four of our congressional delegation have signed on to on the House and on the Senate side. So thank them for taking that on and I guess hoping for a repeal. But if it doesn't happen, at least put it as a permanent fix rather than sunsetting to have to come back and do this constantly. That's been one of the top things.
And for ranchers that utilize public grazing allotments on U.S. Forest Service and BLM lands, Stock Growers does not want them to be impeded by recent layoffs in government agencies.
The comments that we've made to the delegation is that we want to make sure that there aren't delays for turnout for the grazers on the federal lands, either Forest Service or BLM. And it seems like they are looking at what's been done and then bringing people back where needed. Another fluid thing that's happening right now.
Again, that was Stock Growers President Leslie Robinson. I'm Lane Northmond.
Town and...
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I mentioned you can call in with a legislative update of your own. Normally, we would have the Republican Senate President and the House Democrat Minority Whip join us every Thursday for a legislative update, but with all of the action that needs to get done in Helena before the end of tomorrow's transmittal deadline. They're both busy with legislative floor action today. So, but I think next Thursday, since it'll be the transmittal break, they'll join us for the full hour, and then we can take your phone calls and more so you can interact with them too. But yeah, call us 406-294-0970. The phone lines were full there for a little while. We've now freed up some phone lines for you. If you tried to call in before, give us a call again, 294-0970, if you got something you want to talk about. First up, let's go to John calling in from the Flathead Reservation. John, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, what's on my mind is all these illegals and the tremendous costs it's taking. I was reading an article that said taxpayers spent over $61,000 per illegal last year. And one thing I haven't heard anybody in D.C. talk about, and I pay attention, I'm retired, is self-deportation by paying the illegals to self-deport. There's three countries in Europe right now that are paying them to self-deport. I don't know what the amount would be. Maybe even if we spent $20,000 per person to self-deport, it would be a huge bargain. And I've heard nobody talk about this. You know, would, of course, there would be stipulations in a time period where they'd have to get it done. But to me, the cost effectiveness is a no-brainer. And I've called the congressional delegation here from Montana, you know, left messages. And I still haven't heard anybody talk about it. And I just,
yeah, I wonder if they're waiting on that one. I wonder if they're waiting on that one, because we would then be paying for the travel arrangements for these folks, although in a way we kind of are with some of these flights. But I wonder if what they're hoping is that with these, you know, enforcement actions that are taking place right now, not just of the hardcore criminal illegals, but man, what did you think? You probably saw the news about the 17 illegal aliens busted on the job site in Big Fork the other day. So, you know, that I think what they're probably hoping is that people will self-deport on their own dime, knowing that the hammer is about to drop. And then eventually maybe they offer that other incentive.
But that's not happening. And you know, the people are rounding up and deporting, the numbers are really low if you look at it compared to how many are here. And I think hundreds of thousands would self-deport if we gave them an incentive. It'd be so cost-effective compared to what we're doing now. And, you know, we're going to be paying for them year after year after year. That $20,000 or whatever they come up with would be a bargain. And I've heard nobody talk about it. So maybe people can start making some calls to D.C. and put the – yeah, surely, you know, with all the brainiacs we have in D.C., surely somebody's talking about this.
Was that sarcasm with the brainiacs? And actually, now there are actually that would have been a joke 2 months ago, 3 months ago. That would have been a joke. But now they actually do have brainiacs in Washington, D.C. Elon Musk and his whole team are there. So before
if Trump announced we're going to start paying for illegals to self-deport, I think the American people would be up standing up cheering about it. But
I wonder what Conrad Burns would say today about Washington, D.C., because, yeah, there actually are brainiacs in Washington now, because, you know, 20-some years ago, I always got a kick. Conrad Burns, former senator from Montana, he would describe Washington, D.C. as 17 square miles of logic-free environment. 17 square miles of logic-free environment. And now Elon Musk, Doge, and the rest of the, they're bringing a whole lot of logic back, and it's blowing minds of the not-so-brainiac swamp. All right. Hey, thanks so much for the phone call there, John. Great to hear from you. And, you know, and since John was calling from the Flathead Reservation, you know, that also got me thinking, I wonder what some of our friends on the reservations are thinking right now. You couldn't get law enforcement for your reservation out of Joe Biden and John Tester. We couldn't get the St. Mary's Irrigation Project repaired before the catastrophic failure on the system. Drinking clean drinking water on some of our reservations. You couldn't get this. You couldn't get that. They shut down your mine. They do this. But then $22 billion just in the HHS department alone to go to illegal aliens to get cars and all sorts of stuff. How does that make you feel if you're out on the reservation right now? 406-29, or off the reservation, 406-294-0970. Next up, hey, we got a great update for you here. Max Nelson is the Director of Research and Government Affairs for the Freedom Foundation, freedomfoundation.com. You might remember we had Max Nelson on this show last fall. You guys remember back in October, the month before the big election, the MFPE had a teachers' conference in Bozeman, Montana. Remember, that was the teachers' conference that was the wokest of the woke you could possibly imagine. They had the anti-American stuff. They had the critical race theory stuff. They had the LGBTQ stuff. They had a whole session teaching teachers how to get around Montana law so they could push their transgender agenda on your kids. And they used taxpayer resources to attend that conference. There is legislation to crack down on that sort of thing in the Montana legislature right now. And Max Nelson, you've been watching this closely. In fact, I think you even testified on this legislation. Give us the good news update here.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the program, Aaron, for an update. You know, as you mentioned, you know, this is something that you've been paying close attention to, and actually, I think you can take some fair measure of credit for. You know, I was talking with the sponsor of legislation that just passed the Montana House this week, Representative Jody Etchard out in Billings.
Yeah,
introduced legislation to address this problem after hearing you and I talk about it on your program a few weeks and months ago. I know we've revisited it a couple times, but
that's good.
So it's fantastic. Yeah, and I think you're the only, probably the only media outlet in the state that's been following it. And it's a huge story because it affects every family, every student that relies on Montana's public education system, and honestly, quite a few of the teachers as well. So as you mentioned, the teachers union in Montana, the Montana Federation of Public Employees, has every year in October a professional development conference for teachers. And under existing state law, schools are required to close for 2 days in the fall so that teachers can attend this conference and continue to be paid by the district their regular salary to do so. And the content, you know, as you noted and as we talked about before, of this professional development conference, you know, some of it is fine and unobjectionable, but there's quite a bit that we've identified that qualifies as partisan political advocacy. You know, the event conveniently happens about two, three weeks before the general election, and who's there presenting, making their case? It's Democratic officials running for office. It's John Tester. It's, you know, it's folks who are current sitting Democratic lawmakers or candidates for state office. There was content that certainly qualifies as far-left woke ideology, whether that's on racial matters or like DEI and CRT or the LGBTQ agenda or the gender ideology. All of that was represented there. So what Representative Etchard's bill would do is just remove the state mandate that schools close for this conference. Individual schools could still decide that maybe that's what they want to do. Maybe they view the conference as providing enough value that they're going to continue to shut down schools so the teachers can attend. But at least giving individual districts the option of with whether they have to close or not, puts some accountability into the system and allows school districts to control their own school calendars and decide whether this type of content is beneficial for their educators enough for them to facilitate their attendance on paid time. And hopefully it provides a little bit of an incentive for the teachers union to be a little more cautious, a little more judicious about the kind of content that they include in this conference.
Yeah, so this doesn't, you know, stop or ban any teacher from going to the woke, left-wing, partisan MFPE conference. They can still go to the conference on their own time and on their own dime, et cetera. But they're not going to do it on our kids' time when they're supposed to be teaching kids and things like that. Is that a good way to summarize House Bill 557, which, by the way, passed the Montana House earlier this week, right?
It did, yes. It was almost a straight party line vote. You know, the Democrats lined up in opposition, but thankfully it received strong GOP support and came out of the House. As you mentioned, I think officially the third reading vote happened just today. So it'll go over to the Senate for consideration. You know, the other
component... That's great to hear. Hold that thought. I know you got another angle to this story you want to share with our listeners. So Max Nelson with the Freedom Foundation, hold that thought. I'll take a quick break, shortest break of the hour. We'll come back to Max right after this. And we got time if you got something you want to share as well. Give us a call.
Hey, you want to hear...
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is interesting. Just got some breaking news in my on my smartphone here. This came in from the New York Times, but actually I think Fox News sent me an alert about, you know, 10 minutes before the New York Times did anyway. But this is interesting here before we get back to Max Nelson with the Freedom Foundation. Breaking news from the New York Times. The House censured Representative Al Green for heckling President Trump. 10 Democrats voted with Republicans in favor of that censure. So, yeah, there you go. And if you guys hadn't seen it, John Fetterman, the Democrat Senator John Fetterman, there was a story at thedailywire.com where John Fetterman torched his own party for their antics during President Trump's address to Congress the other night as well. Fetterman referred to his fellow Democrats and their antics in that chamber on Tuesday night. He called it, quote, a sad cavalcade of self-owns and unhinged petulance. It only makes Trump look more presidential and restrained. Fetterman said this about the Democrat Party. He says, we are becoming the metaphorical car alarms that nobody pays attention to, and it may not be the winning message. So that was from Fetterman. But, you know, the thing about Fetterman is he likes to talk tough. He likes to talk like he's an independent. But when push comes to shove, when his vote really matters, he's with the car alarm party. I mean, just earlier this week, they had a vote in the United States Senate to protect women's sports so that men aren't going into girls' locker rooms and undressing in front of little girls or grown women, either way, right? Not one Democrat voted with the Republicans to protect women's sports, not even Fetterman. So, you know, he's another one of these guys that unfortunately likes to pretend to be a moderate, likes to pretend to be better than all the other Democrats in his own party, but he's voting right with them on all this crazy stuff. All right, back to Max Nelson with the Freedom Foundation. He was sharing the good news that the Montana House of Representatives passing House Bill 557 by Representative Jody Yetchart out of Billings. This would prevent teachers from using pupil instruction-related days to attend the woke, left, partisan Democrat MFPE annual spring convention. So this is just one way. Max, you said there was another component you wanted to share with our listeners as well.
Well, I think there's a little more going on here with the bill even than might be apparent at first. And this is an issue that cropped up as we were working with Representative Etcherode on the bill. You know, we've talked about previously the professional development conference that the teachers union hosts in the fall and the woke material that goes on there. But there's actually a second annual teachers union event that happens in the spring, the convention. Convention is different than the conference, apparently. There's a whole separate statute that governs it. So MFPE, the Montana Federation of Public Employees, doesn't just represent teachers in Montana. It represents a variety of other kinds of public employees as well, from state workers to city employees, county workers, and so on. And so the convention every year is the governing event for the organization internally. So public employees who are union members and are elected as delegates will then go attend the convention, and they'll do things like vote on union officers and bylaws amendments, and they'll have workshops to strategize on how to increase the union's membership and go through the political endorsement process. That's all related to just running the union as a private membership organization. It doesn't have anything to do with professional development. It doesn't have anything to do with increasing skills for employees. It's not work-related in any way. It's purely related to the internal management of the union. Well, there was a state law, it's been on the books for decades, that allows teachers specifically to use paid PIR, pupil instruction-related days, to attend the union convention in the spring. And, you know, it's really a perversion of language when you look at it. You know, the pupil instruction-related days are paid days that are for outside the classroom work for teachers. So things like, you know, parent-teacher conferences or doing your paperwork at the end of the school year, things like that. That's what those PIR days are intended to be used for. But then the statute also says, oh, and by the way, you can use them to attend union conferences, which, of course, are not pupil instruction-related at all. So Representative Etcherode's bill does two things. It says, no, these PIR days, these paid days for teachers to do things outside the classroom, have to be used for actual functions related to their job. It can't be used to attend the union's convention in the spring. You have to do that on your own time. And then the second component is removing the obligation that school districts close for the professional development conference that the union hosts annually in the fall.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
Is this a world? Just makes sense. Is it a world-ending bill?
Yeah. Those 2 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those 2 days are supposed to be for teachers to, okay, let's take a step back from the day-to-day grind of teaching kids to, hey, what is some professional development that we can do or something like that, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it just makes sense. It's very targeted. I know there's some folks who would like to see the legislation go even further, but this sounds like a very good start. I'd love it if one of these days these teachers just finally go start their own union and ditch the MFPE, because I'll tell you what, you know, the MFPE has been lobbying against the very teachers paying them their union dues. We've seen it time and time again. Max Nelson, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Tomorrow on the show, I think we'll have an Open Lines Friday again. We've got some great calls today. Look, this-